Good afternoon. Time to take a look at news again here on KCOB. I'm Randy Van. Well, Governor Kim Reynolds met early this morning with a small group of business owners, the State Prison for Women in Mitchellville, marking the beginning of an effort to boost the job prospects for inmates being released from prison.
This is a real opportunity for businesses to take a second look and look at, you know, a group that they've maybe not considered before.
Reynolds says Iowa's business community may not be aware of the education and training programs underway inside the state's prison system.
You have to be on good behavior to be able to participate. So these individuals have made a decision that they want to turn their life around, they want to have a skill, they want to be successful, they want to get back to their family.
As an example, some inmates at the prison in Newton are learning construction skills and building homes that can be trucked off prison grounds and placed in communities with lack of housing. Today's meeting in Mitchellville is the first of several being planned at other prison facilities around the state. Governor says they hope to put together a website of employers that are willing to hire individuals with a record. Since Reynolds was elected to a full term as governor a year ago, she is focused on what she calls a second chance agenda. The governor just last week appointed a task force to come up with more criminal justice reform proposals. A threat was called in to a Pleasant Hill Elementary School this morning, and the person responsible has been identified. Pleasant Hill Police of the Southeast Polk Community School District made them aware of a threat, which was called in to 4 Mile Elementary. Officers went to all the elementary schools in Pleasant Hill at approximately 9 a.m. as an additional precaution. According to the press release, all students and staff remained safe while the Pleasant Hill Police Department investigated the threat. During the investigation, the student was identified, taken into custody without incident, and moved to a hospital for psychiatric evaluation. School leaders in Colfax Mingo are now moving ahead with plans to make some significant facility improvements as voters have overwhelmingly approved a $12 million bond issue. The results of yesterday's election show 76.6% of the district's residents who voted supported plans to build new athletic facilities.
Put up a new stadium. And upgrade our field and our track, because right now we have a cinder track, and then also add on a, like right now we have an outdoor building that used to be our bus barn many years ago that is now our weight room and wrestling room. So we would use, part of the bond would be to add that on to our building as well as a new competition gym, because ours doesn't fit the size of our district anymore. So those would be the three main components that we would be adding on with the bond.
That is Colfax Mingo Superintendent Eric Anderson. He says the improvements are phase one of a three-phase plan to improve all the district's facilities in Colfax and Mingo over the next 15 years. 60% approval was needed for passage of the bond. The vote total was 778 yes, 237 no. Jasper County voters who voted in the Iowa Valley Community College District's $32 million general obligation bond referendum were almost evenly split. 35 voted yes, 34 voted no. District-wide, though, the question, which was before voters for a second time, was approved with 62.43% of the vote. The required 60% approval was exceeded by an estimated 268 votes. Total of 11,067 ballots cast across the district, 10-county area, with 6,909 votes in favor of the referendum, 4,158 against it. Dr. Christy Fisher, the Iowa Valley Community College District Chancellor, says the general obligation bond funding will update facilities and critical infrastructures to better serve students and communities into the future. Two of the three Newton School Board members seeking re-election are going to be staying on the board. The unofficial results from the election yesterday show incumbent Josh Cantu received the most votes. His name appeared on 1,421 ballots. Donna Cook, the longest-serving member of the current board, was re-elected with 1,066 votes. Newton Clinic Administrator Mark Thayer will be joining the board. He received 1,063 votes. Incumbent Ann Leonard will be giving up her seat to Thayer. Leonard got 999 votes, while former Newton School Board member Nat Clark's name was on 774 ballots. Thayer said last night he is ready to serve.
I'm excited, you know, obviously you see the results and the trust that the community has in me, and I'm, you know, really look forward to carrying on, you know, the great success that Newton School Districts have had the last 7 years. I look forward to participating with the process of identifying a new leader.
Thayer does believe the resignation of Superintendent Bob Callahan last week may have played a role in him getting elected.
I think there's merit in any time a board takes action, you know, 7 or 8 days before an election. And I think it probably played on a lot of people's minds as they went and voted. Obviously, what's happened is unfortunate, but it's time to look forward and identify a new leader. And I'm hopeful that we can restore some of the transparency issues that so many people have identified over the last year.
Cook said last night she was worried Callahan's resignation might prevent her from getting reelected.
Yes, I was concerned, and quite frankly, if that meant I wasn't elected, I was okay with that. My priority is to move the district forward.
This will be Cook's 5th four-year term. What keeps motivating her to serve on the school board?
To be an advocate for all children, and the second would be education. I believe that all children deserve a fair and equitable education, and it shouldn't have anything to do with their zip code or their school. It should be a district-wide excellence.
Randy Irvin is going to be joining the Newton City Council as an at-large representative. Irvin got 65% of the vote in the election yesterday, defeating Bryce Heitman, 1,059 votes to 561.
It's been a great race. I have a lot of things positive to say about Bryce. I think he's going to be a great person in the future. But tonight, I guess I get to celebrate with my family and my friends, and thanks to all the people that voted for me. It was a tremendous group effort.
That's Irvin as we talked to him last night after the election results were in. Big priority for him going forward as a Newton City Councilman is to bring more out-of-town money into the community.
I know there's some things happening right now within 30 minutes of us that we need to be aware of that could help grow this city. I think there's things going on such as the fast pitch that we can use to market our town. We really need to become a destination city. And I think that's probably one of the top goals, at least that I have at this point.
This at-large seat has been held by Lynn Chappe, who was appointed to the position last year. Newton Mayor Mike Hansen was reelected to another term. He was unopposed, but there was a write-in campaign. Hansen got 86% support with 1,308 votes. There were 212 write-in votes. A number of communities across Jasper County had contested city and school elections on the ballot yesterday. In Prairie City, Councilman John Lee was unsuccessful in his attempt at becoming mayor. Lee lost to incumbent Chad Alliger. Alliger got 62% of the vote to win re-election, 285 votes to 172. There was also a contest city council race contested in Prairie City. Three candidates sought two seats. Incumbent Ann McDonald got the most votes, 318. Debbie Townsend was also elected with 277 votes. Brent Berger lost with 190 votes. In Monroe, incumbent city councilman Nathaniel Bradbury lost his seat. Newcomers Sean Wilson and Stacey McCoy were elected with 238 and 195 votes, respectively. Bradbury received 129 votes. Baxter voters also chose a new council member. Incumbent Jason Robinson was reelected with 144 votes. Tootie Sampson was elected to incumbent Kelly Milligan's seat with 113 votes to Milligan's 86. In Mingo, incumbent Rhonda Milligan and two challengers ran for two seats. Christian Crozier was the top vote getter with 61, while Milligan was reelected with 47. Stacey Lane's name was on 35 ballots. In Kellogg, write-in votes were needed to select two city council members. County Auditor's Office is David Islander and Chad Matchett were both elected with 5 write-in votes each. In Sully, there's a write-in tie at 39 votes for mayor between Brent Vandermolen and Gordon Yarrington, while Jeff Burkett received the most write-in votes at 44 for a city council seat. In Oakland Acres, Lisa Griffith was the top write-in for mayor with 6 votes, while Terry Morrison and Kurt Strasser appeared tied for one city council position with 3 write-in votes each. In Valeria, Nicole Olson's 6 write-in votes were the most for a city council seat. Mindy McCarthy's 99 write-ins were tops for a seat on the PCM board for District 2. Write-in ties, they can be broken if one of the individuals is not interested in accepting the position or a canvas of the election changes the results. If not, the winner will be chosen by luck of the draw. Yesterday was the first time ever city and school elections were held on the same day. Jasper County Auditor Dennis Parrott says the state legislature paired the city and school elections to save money and increase voter turnout. In Jasper County, the idea seems to have worked in terms of voter turnout.
Turnout for a regular school election and regular city elections oftentimes in almost every county came in below a 10% turnout, which is abysmal.
But local voter turnout for this election reached 16.76%, as 4,364 of Jasper County's registered 26,033 voters voted. As far as reducing election costs, Parrott says it's too early to tell.
We'll have to go back and look at separate city elections and separate school elections from 2 years ago, see what the costs were, and then after we're finished with this election, we'll compare the two. And so, again, cost savings can come in a lot of different places: advertising, ballots, programming, poll workers, all those types of things, materials that we use, and see if by holding one election is actually less expensive than doing it two times, once in September and once in November.
Results last night's election not official until they're canvassed by the Jasper County Board of Supervisors. And the man who spearheaded the renovation of Hotel Maytag in downtown Newton is going to be involved in a special runoff election with current Des Moines Mayor Frank County. Former state senator and Hotel Maytag developer Jack Hatch and County both received 43% of the vote, short of the 50% plus one vote needed to be elected. Polk County Auditors says a runoff election for County and Hatch will be Tuesday, December the 3rd. There were two other candidates in the race for Des Moines mayor as well. They'll not be involved in the runoff. In funeral announcements, a funeral service for Trudy Delk of Newton will be held 11 a.m. tomorrow at Wallace Family Funeral Home and Crematory. Family of Trudy Delk going to greet friends this evening, 5 to 7 at Wallace Family Funeral Home. Memorials Trudy's family may be left at the funeral home. Trudy Delk passing away at the age of 71. The memorial service for Joanne White of Des Moines, passed away at the age of 66, will be held 1 o'clock Friday at Wallace Family Funeral and Crematory. Family of Joanne White going to greet friends after the service with a coffee time at the funeral home. Memorials to the Lost Chords Club that may be left at Wallace Family Funeral Home. That is your noontime check of area news and funeral announcements here on KCOV. I'm Randy Vann.